So here is the message that he spoke to me. He said, America, you've been subpoenaed. You've been ordered to stand before the highest courts of the universe. Your testimony of self-righteousness is useless. Perjury has been committed, and your conviction will not be overturned. Your laws and lawyers won't defend you from the law and the judge of all men. Your day in court has arrived. My judgment will be swift, and my scales will be balanced. I will pour out my correction with diligence and measure. Think it not strange, O land of bloodshed, all the events of chaos and misfortune that circle your land. You've created it and cultivated it, and now you will reap the harvest of your seeds sown. My church, come unto me. Be accountable. Be sincere. Humble yourselves, and I will cover you during these storms and tempests that will surely arise. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for covering us today in your grace. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to declare and decree these truths, that you would bring forth conviction to us that hear it, that we would have ears to hear and heart to receive, and that we'd be quick to repent, and that we'd be quick, Father, to call upon that name that's above every single name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Sobering words for sure from the Lord, but nonetheless, they're words that we need to hear and a message that must be preached today. As I was praying and seeking the Lord as to what he wanted me to say, and I've got up really early this morning. I haven't been sleeping very well lately. I don't know about you. Everything's fine in my soul, just troubled, just stirred. Can't get the mind to shut off, thinking about life and things and missions and responsibilities. And I don't know if you know this, but the world does move around and move on while you're sleeping. And sometimes we end up going into that world again by waking up and spending time in thought and prayer. But as I was praying, he spoke these words to me, very simple. He said, subpoena. I'm like, ooh. How many of y'all ever been subpoenaed before? Thank you. It's not a very fun feeling when somebody comes to your house with a subpoena. Whether it's a police officer or officer of the court or however it is presented to you, it's not an invitation to a tea party. In fact, your heart begins to sink down, especially when you don't know what you're being subpoenaed about. And so for most people in most states, we understand what a subpoena is. It means to be under penalty. That's the exact meaning of it, the old English word under penalty. And again, it's different in states, but it basically is a judge calling a person to appear before them in a court. And if you don't appear before the judge in a court, you will be arrested. Most states, probably all states have this. I'm not a lawyer, so don't quote me. But I know that in the states I lived in, if you don't show up, you go to the pokey. Is anybody here? Because that judge isn't playing. That judge wants to speak with you. That judge has something that he wants to hear from you, whether you have evidence or whether you're a witness or whatever it may be. He's ordering you to come to that courtroom. And if you violate that, you will pay the price for it, including financial fines, probation, and then up to jail. In fact, it's a federal crime to not obey a subpoena. So we know this is true in the natural, and we have a fear of that. At least most of us do, who are law-abiding citizens. But when we look at the Word of God and recognize and realize that God has a subpoena upon all men, that one day we will stand before an almighty God, it seems to be no fear. And many times we use excuses the why we're covered, and we don't have to worry about that day. I truly believe, no matter how saved you may seem or may look, there ought to be some type of fear of reverence of God that one day I will stand before the Almighty. And that I want my heart to be clean now so that I can stand before Him and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It is a desire of my heart, and I hope it is for you. But America has been subpoenaed. The nations of the world, no matter who you are and where you are listening to me today or watching, you have been called by God to the universal court of heaven. The Bible declares in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed for all men to die. I said all men. All of us, if the Lord does not return before the passing of our lives, we will die. And when we're young, we think that's never going to happen. And when we're older, we're not really sure how much longer. Is anybody here? We just take every step and gently go across the thin ice. Is anybody here? Could this be the day? But judgment awaits for every single human being. There is nobody in Hollywood or Motown or Nashville that's immune. There's nobody in Washington or New York City or any other high place that is immune from this subpoena. We all will stand before an almighty God. And I believe the doctrine of judgment has been far removed from the Playboy Playground Church of America to where we don't fear God anymore because, by the way, we've got it made in the shade. Why should I worry? I can live off grace and do what I want to do. I can slip and slide and think thoughts and do things that I want to do because I'm already saved. Well, the Bible declares that you ought to judge yourself lest you be judged. You need to be checked out by the Holy Spirit and find if you are in the way or not. And I believe it's healthy that once in a while we take a break in life and look at where we are compared to the Word of God, not compared to what your preacher says or what your church may do as a culture, but what does the Word say? Because at the end of the day, when all men stand before God, you will not be judged by your culture, you will not be judged by your pastor, you will not be judged by the doctrines of a church or a denomination. You will singularly be checked out and judged by God Himself according to His Word, just by yourself. Unfortunately, man won't have his wife to shield him, and vice versa. We'll all stand before God in judgment. So the title of this message is called Subpoena. And in Hebrews 9:27, which we're not going to go there, it talks about the appointment. And the word appointment means to be laid up. It means to be in store. It means to be ready for a certain time. The Bible declares in Genesis 3:19, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Very sobering. Very sobering to know that one day all that we have will be nothing. All that we are, all of our achievements, all your money you've ever stored up, the things you have, your trinkets and treasures in your home will mean nothing. Very sobering. Very sobering that all you ever accomplished in life will amount to nothing without Christ. Very sobering. Very sobering that all your church attendance will mean nothing if you didn't live a life of righteousness. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You say, Pastor, why are you preaching to me? I'm born again. Well, I believe you are born again, but I think you need to take a break a minute and think about your salvation and to think about where you are on your road that you're currently on. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We're talking about subpoena. We're talking about a life that has to be lived according to the Word of God because of the day of judgment. A day in which all of us will stand before God and will be judged for what we've done in our lives, in our bodies. We'll be judged by the intents of our heart. We'll be judged by the words of our mouth, by our deeds. I truly believe that every man and every woman listening to me right now, every person on the face of the earth is on probation. Now, people argue with me on this fact, but I believe we're in probation. We're guilty, but we're forgiven. That we've received amazing grace, but we got to finish the race. No, I do not believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. I do not. Because you must define what a Christian really is in order for that to be applicable to that theory. If you're born again, then you don't practice sin. You don't live in sin. If you're born again, then you walk according to the righteousness that's of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God and not of yourself. And so self-examination allows you to look at yourself and see where you are in the light of God's Word, not in your conscience that makes you think everything's well. Does that make any sense to you? Though people will get mad about it, the truth of the matter is the Word of God is the guideline for that fact, not a preacher's opinion or the words he says. So I do believe that every man and every woman, everybody listening to me right now, the age of accountability is on probation. You've got to make it to the end. The Bible declares that he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There is a thing called endurance. And I will argue vehemently with those who say I can live any way I want to live just because I named the name of Christ 20 years ago and I can flip, trip, sin, do everything I want to do and still make it into heaven. I seriously doubt that. And I would warn you very strongly and sternly that you're playing Russian roulette with the judge of all men. And so from that point, I want to go to Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at this together. Now that I have your attention, I made half of you mad. I was trying for all, but I can only do half. Watch this. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, not from D.C., not from the State House, the White House, but from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. First thing I want you to see, there is a heaven. I said there is a heaven. There is a place of the high courts of God. There is a place where God abides, and he's not your buddy in this particular scene here. He's high and he's lifted up. He's God Almighty. There comes a time when Jesus will no longer be that shepherd per se that we see in the paintings of holding a little lamb, but he will be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords with fire in his eyes. He's already that, but he will appear in that manner. Not like before. However you understand Jesus will determine how you receive him. Let me try this again. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, have a key to the bottomless pit. The other thing I want you to see, heaven has the keys. Well, I don't know why, Pastor, things are happening in America and people killing each other over craziness and the smallest things. I don't understand why we're the land of bloodshed and this is happening. I don't understand why wars are happening. I don't understand all these things. Honey, you don't have to understand. All you need to know is that God has the keys. This is Revelation 20. This is coming to the climax of it all. This is the finishing act. He's got the keys. I'm not worried about everything else between here and there. He's got the keys. I'm not worried about doors seemingly locked and there's no goodness in the world. He has the keys. And we as a church need to recognize and realize that keys represent authority. He has all authority, not just a little bit of authority, but all authority has been given unto Jesus. And so many people are freaking out and so worried about what do we do and pulling their hair out and just all upset about what's happening around the world. It's been written. And because it's been written, I can live by faith knowing that it's going to be well with my soul because he has the keys. Well, what about this and what about that? He's got the keys. Well, I don't know about the economy and everything's falling apart. He's got the keys. I'm not worried about it. He has the authority. He has the keys to my heart. Is anybody here? He's got the keys to my home. He's got the keys to my car. He's got the keys. So I'm not worried about it. The way you would listen to most Christians today, especially in YouTube land, you would think the devil's got all the keys. Come on, church. He's in control of everything. He's got this under control. And the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Honey, I'm not worried about what the devil's up to. I'm declaring, decreeing what God is up to. And he's in control. He's got the keys. You ought to tell your neighbor that. Next time somebody calls you and gets all panicky, just say, go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. He's got the keys. Just, and they'll never talk to you again. They'll never call you for your problem again. Having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hands. I love this part. This ought to be the place where you shout, man. Not only does he have the keys, he's got a chain. Glory to God. He's going to whip up on somebody here soon. See, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the devil. It's not the revelation of all the bad things that are going to come upon the earth. It's the revelation of Jesus. That's why they call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the book to scare the bananas out of you. You got to read it. And if you read it, we win. Now I got to go to hell to get through it, but I'm going to win. Just like life. Life isn't easy. But if you've got grace, he'll help you get through the hard times. I said he'll get you to the place of peace that passes all understanding. So he said he had a key and then he had the chain. Watch verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon. Grabbed him by the nape of the neck, didn't he? Laid hold of the, now watch this, laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. You know why God did it that way? So you would not be mistaken who he's talking about. You can name him any way you want to name him. He's got him. That's some good news right there. So he's got the keys, he's got the chain, and he's going to grab hold of that devil. The devil, the one that's been messing with us, the one that's been destroying our children, the one that's been stealing their innocency, the one that's been causing bloodshed across the world and throughout the generations, the devil, the one that's been causing divorce, the one that's been causing sickness, disease, malfunction, and death itself, the devil, the dragon, that serpent, that dog, ha, glory. Jesus is going to grab hold of him. You see, the message of Christianity, the message of the last days is a message of triumph and victory through trials. That's the part the preacher don't want to talk about. You're going to have to go through the trials, but you're going to get to the victory. Because I'm going to tell you something, it would not be worth living this life if there wasn't some victory somewhere at some time. not only on the journey on this earth, but knowing one day, come on somebody, all this is going to pass away. All the oldness and sickness and disease and malfunction and all the things that we deal with, the sadness and the pain and the sorrow, all of it's going to be swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. What a day, what a glorious day it's going to be. That's my focus today. Oh, I don't like what's happening in the people planet today. I don't like what's happening in our nation. I don't like what's going on, but I have to recognize and realize he's got the key. He's got the chain, and he's going to deal with that dog. And look at this, verse 2. Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I don't know about you, but that's a long time. 1,000 years. So he's got the key, he's got the chain, he's going to grab him, and then he's going to bind him up. Here's my favorite part, verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Woo! Glory to God. What a day that's going to be. Just shut him up. I'm tired of the devil. Just shut him up. Shut up the bickering and the crying and the complaining and talking all kinds of stuff about you and everything that we hear and all the vulgar words and everything. Just shut them up. What a day that's going to be. See, Jesus has that power and only he has it. I said Jesus has that power, only he has the authority to shut him up. Aren't you looking forward to that day? I am. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the craziness in our world. I'm tired of turning on the news and all you hear is bloodshed. Now it don't matter anymore about life. You can roll a basketball in somebody's yard and they kill you. Come on, somebody. Try to put a baby to sleep and everybody dies over it. It's coming a great day. So the devil has a subpoena. He's going to have to go before Almighty God. So I'm not worried. Again, I don't like my situation in this planet that I live on. I don't like to see the things that are happening worldwide. But I recognize and realize that there is a subpoena, an arrest warrant, if you will, for that dog. And he is a dog. And God will deal with that dog like it needs to be. And he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season. We're not going to go into the total theological reason other than that God gives man an opportunity during the time of the millennial reign to make a decision. Are you going to serve Christ? Or are you going to serve this dog? You'll have to go to my Revelation teachings to get it all. Verse 4. And I saw the thrones that, and they that sat upon them. I saw Benjamin Faircloth. I saw. Did you just say your name? You need to. And I saw them that sat upon them. Ronnie, put your name up in there. Get you a pencil and write in your Bible. Because he's talking about you and me. And I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. And I saw thrones, or places of authority, if you will, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, or the power to judge. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God and for what which had not worshipped the beast, either his image, nor received the mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands or in their foreheads or in their hands, as they, watch this, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Glory to God. Who is that? That's you and me. See, you are destined to reign. You are destined to rule with Christ. God has chosen us from the foundations of the earth to be a kingdom of priests unto him, that he will give us that opportunity to sit upon those thrones and those places of authority and judge. Do you know the Bible declares that you will judge angels? Oh yeah. So the future is glorious for the church. The future is awesome for the church. Now the problem that we have in the church is that we are so linear that we think on timelines called life and breath, and we refuse to look beyond that when time and breath is swallowed up in eternity. Glory to God. Then you're really going to live. And then you're really going to breathe. Come on, right now you're breathing in all this old pollution. You're breathing in all this old carnal air. Come on now. Especially when you get a little flat tire around the waistline, it's a little harder to breathe. Is anybody here? But one day we're going to be weightless. Come on, somebody. We're going to be able to breathe a sigh of relief. We're going to put Jenny Craig out of business. Come on now. So I saw those thrones, he said. I saw those who sat upon them. There's coming a day we're going to reign and rule with Christ. That's a promise, honey. That's an absolute guarantee. If you know Jesus and you're born again. Now watch this. They lived and they reigned. They ruled with him 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I plead with anybody listening to me right now or watching me, you better be a part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such death hath no power. You need to underline that part right there. Death has no power. I said death has no power, baby. Death has no power. When you know Jesus and you're born again, death does not hold you, because the grave can't hold you, because you're free. As soon as you step out of this earth suit, you're in the presence of God forever. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I ain't trying to speed the thing up, but I'm just imagining in my mind of being in the glory of God. No longer the pain, the suffering of this cruel world. The assignment completed. My promotion accepted. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. What a day it's going to be. I'm going to tell you, this needs to be preached all across America and around the world. The hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of resurrection, the hope of the first resurrection, pushing towards that day, saying, Lord God, make myself clean, make me clean. Lord God, forgive me of my sins. Father, whatever it takes, keep me out of unrighteousness, whether it's word or deed, whether it's thought, whatever it is. Lord God, cleanse me with the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse me by the power of the living waters of God. Father, deal with my heart. I'm not going to miss this day. You can have all the money, you can have all the men, the women, everything, you can have all the trinkets and treasures of life. I'm not missing this day. Did you hear me? I said I'm not going to miss this day. I'm not going to miss that eternal day where the sun rises and never goes down. Oh, glory to God. Never going to be night again. Never going to be a storm again. Never going to be any pain, tears. But the glory and the goodness of Jesus. We don't preach this anymore. We don't preach about heaven because we're talking about hell on earth. I recognize and realize hell is on earth, but you ain't seeing anything yet. But at the same time, honey, while you're going through hell, think about heaven. Because heaven is your course. Heaven is your compass. Heaven gives you something to look towards. Heaven is your GPS. Heaven will get you to where you need to be. You better stay focused on heaven. Don't allow the cares of this world to hold you down. I haven't started preaching. I'm just really trying to work this in here. Verse 5 again. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such death, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's just the beginning, darling. That's just the beginning of your contract, by the way. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. That is not of Ezekiel 38. It's speaking of the enemies of God. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. So where are we at? We in that city. It just reminds me of that, the story of the three little pigs and the wolf. You can huff and you can puff, but you can't blow this house down. And so the saints are in that beloved city, the New Jerusalem. And outside are what? Dogs, the Bible declares. And in this theological description, we see that the enemies of God will try to one more time destroy God and his people. Let's see how God responds to this, if you don't mind. And it says that fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Talk about French fries. There you go. Do not tell me that God is not a righteous God. Do not tell me that God won't judge. Do not tell me that God won't protect and preserve you. He will. He just has a time and a place, baby. There is a court date. There is an appointment for every single man. And for these here are those who have been deceived. God says, I will deal with you. Now, if God says he'll deal with them at that point, then I know he'll deal with them now. I know that. I know he'll deal with my enemies. Now, I don't know how he will deal with them. I just know that he will deal with them. The Bible tells me all I have to do is keep my mouth shut, hold my peace, and let the Lord fight my battles. It's going to work out. Whether he gets them now or gets them later, he's going to get them. He would rather them churn instead of burn, but if they don't churn, they will burn. And this nation has been subpoenaed. Every man, every woman, every person has been subpoenaed to stand before a mighty God. And there's no escape of this. Watch this with me as we go down verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Somebody say hallelujah. Now there's people right now that have sympathy. Oh, well, I feel bad. No, you better not feel bad. There's a teaching in the church today called inclusionism. Inclusionism is a teaching, is a false doctrine of devils, blasphemic by nature, that teaches that everybody gets saved, including the devil. That's why your diversity teaching has come into the church and your total acceptance teaching has come into the church, because nobody has really sinned because it's over with and Jesus paid the price. That is heresy. That is false. The Bible even teaches that there's those that have tasted of the goodness of God and the things concerning the kingdom of heaven and the power thereof and have denied him, and it's impossible to bring them back to Christ. But your modern theologians will teach you to believe in inclusionism. What I'm reading to you, that ain't so. Now watch. And that devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So he's got his buddies, the unholy trinity. and they shall be blessed day and night forever and ever. That's not what it says. They'll be tormented. Now, I don't have the total understanding of what that means, even though I've interviewed people who have actually had visions of hell or experiences of hell, and we've listened to people who've actually gone to hell. All I know is not a place you want to go. I've never been there, but I believe the Word. I believe the Word says it's a place of torment, and I don't want to try to find out. I don't want to get near it. I don't want to see it. I won't be so high up in the air I get a nosebleed. Is anybody here? I'm so far. Don't want to be a part of that. But the Bible declares it's so. And so they will be tormented day and night, and they will be tormented forever. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Notice it's a great white throne. Singular. Not a whole bunch of thrones. This is the only throne that matters. A great white throne and him that sat on it. This is speaking of the judgment. This is speaking as Jesus being the judge. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. What John the writer was saying, the revelator, what he was saying and what he saw was that nothing else mattered. Nothing in heaven and nothing on earth. It was just Christ. All of your fabrications, all of your lies, all of your excuses, all of our accomplishments, all of our trophies, all of our awards, all of our bank accounts, all of our mortgage papers, everything that represents anything on our earth was gone, including our righteousness. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to his glory. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when all you will see is Christ. Jesus, the Lamb of God, and that's all that will matter. There'll be no presidents. There'll be no governments. There'll be no authority but the authority, which is Christ. You won't hide behind the skirt of your wife. You won't hide behind the suit of your husband. You won't be able to hide behind anything or anyone. It'll be him only. Everything will fade away. Amazing as that sounds and fairy tale to some, it is the absolute truth because he is God Almighty. It's coming. Every man is subpoenaed to be there. Every person will be there. There is no hiding from the great white throne judgment of God. All of those that walk across this earth in arrogancy and pride like a peacock, with multiplied billions of dollars in bank accounts and cars and homes and all the things that they have of trinkets and treasures and entrapments, will mean nothing on that day. It'll be a simple question. Are you washed in the blood? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you been forgiven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It don't matter anything else. And see, this is hard for us in the humanistic mind to accept in the reality that, oh, this guy is so popular and that girl is so wonderful and they have homes and they have guards and security and they have this and they have that and surely they are important. No. The great equalizer is the cross. Watch what it says here. You have a Bible, right? And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. It's gone. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead. That's everybody that has ever lived and died, small and great, from the poorest person on the planet to the wealthiest, to those that live in a penthouse and drive fancy cars and drink fancy liquor and smoke big old cigars, all the way down to the bum living under the overpass. I saw them all. John said, I saw every one of them. There wasn't one person that was hidden. Listen to me now. Not one person. You're all been subpoenaed. All of them. Whether they were dictators such as Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Lenin, doesn't matter. Every single person that has ever lived, small and great, stand before God. One day we will stand before God. One day we will stand before the mighty judge of the universe, all of us. But blessed is he who is a part of the first resurrection. And the books were opened. I want you to notice it's books. Books. Why? Because there's volumes of records of man. There's volumes of evidence and proof of man. I believe what I'm going to read to you right now is God upon his throne, Jesus as judge, opening the books of evidence against mankind. There will be no excuse. There'll be no way to hide. There'll be no way to shuck and jive or fake it till you make it. You will stand before God naked in your sin. It's coming. I said it's coming. And what's happening in America, what's happening around the world, is just a prophetic unveiling and a rushing towards this day. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a rush towards it. It's an unsealing of what's happening in the book of Revelation. It's an unsealing of what happened in Daniel. It's an unsealing what happened by the prophets that said there would come a day rushing towards this day of Revelation 20. And we've missed it in the prophetic body. We've missed it in the church because we're more worried at looking at the signs of the times than recognizing where those signs are leading to. They're leading to humanity standing before God. And man is not promised tomorrow. His life is but a vapor. And we're spending more time as preachers worrying about what we see and what we think and how we analyze the end times, rather than warning all men that one day you'll stand before a mighty God, including church folk who are playing church, living in sin and don't know Christ. Oh, by name, you're pretty good at it. But you practice fornication. You practice witchcraft outside this house. You won't be judged for what you've played in this house with. You'll be judged by what you lived outside this house. And then it will be compounded upon you for faking it. It's called being a hypocrite. The word hypocrite in the Greek means a player. You're just a player, baby. You play in the house that you're born again. You play in the house that you're saved. You play in the house that you're a Christian. You play in the house that you're these things. And then you go home and you fornicate. You go home and you watch pornography. You go home and you do all of these things that are contrary to what you say you are in the house. I'd rather you walk in the house and say, hey, I got a problem with pornography, Pastor. I would rather you show me that you're dealing with something rather than to hide it and say, I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I got it made in the shade, baby. I know how to say all the right words in church. I can buck and shout and do everything like everybody else does and twirl around. Big deal. You can still split hell wide open. Are you my friend today? Somebody needs to hear this right now, no matter where you are on this people planet. Don't play games with God. This ain't no game, man. We are watching what is happening on the earth as we are rushing beyond our imagination to this day. And my job is to warn folks, and my job is to pull you out. That's why it's called a pulpit. Pull you out of the pit. Did you know that? That's what it's called. It ain't somewhere to stand up and look cute. It's a pulpit, man. I'm pulling you out of that pit, trying to get you right in your life. At the same time, working on me. Come on now. Watch this. Watch this. I know you don't like me, but just, you get out of here in a few minutes. I promise you. We'll unlock the doors and you can go. And the books were open, and another book was opened. So we got books and a book. You better not worry about the books. You better worry about the book, which is the book of life or eternal life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. See, this is why he put books, and this is why it's there, because God has a body of evidence. Or evidence, wherever you're from. He's got it documented. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. He's got it written down, don't he? He's got a hard copy, and he's got a copy behind that copy. Copy that. He's got a copy for you, got a copy for me, he's got a is anybody here? You ever get a bill sometime and the guy pulls off four different copies? My gosh, I got it. I understand. I owe you money. Well, one's for the secretary, one's for the lawyer. One... I don't need your copy, but God's got a copy, don't he? Watch this. According to their works. Now, the word works there in the Greek means business. First of all, the salvation can only come through the blood of the Lamb. Roger that. Check. But these here are not born again. And so God says, I'm going to judge you according to your works. You weren't born again, but I'm going to prove to you you weren't righteous either. You're already here on the second death, which proves you weren't born again, but I'm going to show you why. He's a just God. Oh, what a day that's going to be, a day of horror. Why would you want to live in hell this whole life that we live and then die and go there? Why would you want to suffer in this life and then suffer forever? Where the worm dieth not. Why would you even want to take a chance? Well, I'm just going to play a little bit over here with some drugs, and I'm going to mess with witchcraft just a little bit. I'm going to play with the horoscope. I'm going to play with a little bit of magic over here. I'm going to play with just a little bit of fornication and shacking up. I'm just going to do a little bit of these things over here. I'm sure God understands me. No, he don't understand you. He understands the word. He don't understand how you can say you love him and yet you rebel against him. He don't understand that. No, he don't. He don't understand how that he has given you so much and requires really so little out of you, which is your obedience. He said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost to help you. And when you fall, you have an advocate. Come on, somebody. This Christian life is not that hard. It's harder to rebel against God than it is to live right. Oh yeah. I said it's easy to live right when the Holy Ghost is in you and when you call upon him and say, God, I just can't do this no more. I don't know how many times I've taken a little side road in my life and said, stop, I just can't do this. I need you, Jesus. I need you to help me. Get my mind right. Get me straight. God can work with you, but he can't work with you as a hypocrite. He can't work with you being stiff-necked, rebellious. Watch this. I love you. You know I love you. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. And the sea gave up the dead. You can't go in the sea and hide. Well, I'll just jump in the sea. I'll just tie a millstone around my neck and just dive in the sea. Gotcha. Man thinks you can play hide and seek. You can't play hide and seek. You're going to stand before God one day. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Where are you going to go? You can't hide from God. It's impossible. But yet man loves darkness and loves his sin rather than light, so he hides everything. And that's why Adam and Eve covered themselves, because they were ashamed. You know you're coming towards the end times when everybody now wants to expose themselves. Because there is no shame. At least they had enough common sense to want to cover up. Now everybody walk around just about uncovered. And you don't even have to imagine what's underneath it, because it's almost there to see. We're not evolving to be better. We're evolving worse. Humanity is worse because the human heart has not been cured. We're working on the cure for cancer. We're working on the cure for common cold. We're working on the cure for this. We're working on the cure for that. But very few go to the cure for the human heart, which is the Bible, which is the blood of the Lamb. And that's the prescription we ought to be passing out. That's the vaccine you need right there, baby doll. Take that. Take them gospels and get saved. Instead of preaching what we're preaching. Watch it. I got to go. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. So they all went this belly up. And death and hell shall deliver up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Every man. We've been subpoenaed. Every single man. Verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. There's coming a day of great torment. There's coming a day when all of these things of unrighteousness and those who practice unrighteousness, the Bible declares that outside of the kingdom are dogs, and those who practice fornication and those who practice witchcraft, all of those that are unholy will be cast into the lake of fire. I don't know when the last time I heard a message about the lake of fire. I don't know when was the last time I heard a message of hell. All I've heard over the past couple decades is political mantras and ramping up that we can save this people planet by a political entity. I'm tired of hearing it. They're not going to save us. Not from this. Your political affiliation, not going to save you from this. How about this? Your YouTube subscription, whoever you watch, they going to save you from this. Your 401k, Geico, can't do it. You can have bumper to bumper policies, baby. This ain't going to save you. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you have ass seen on TV everywhere in your house. That ain't going to save you either. Tupperware may last forever, but not this Tupperware. Somebody help me now. There is no way to avoid this day. You have been summoned to appear. You have been subpoenaed. And this nation is heralding towards it. We are spinning out of control towards this day. And you are not going to stop it. And I know that's not the message you tuned in to hear today, but that's the message that God gave me. And all men should do an inventory of their lives. All of us should sit back and say, Lord God, I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know I will be a part of that first resurrection. You can go ahead and punch my ticket. I already going to be there, Lord God. I got my bags packed. However you going to do this. If I lose my head, I'll see you there too. Whatever you want to do, Jesus, I'm on that flight with you. I'm going to glory land. I'm going to be with you. You can have this world and hell too. Give me Jesus and give me heaven. That's all I care. Well, I'm going to bring as many people with me as I possibly can. I'm going to preach to every single creature in every single nation. I'm going to stay up late and work late. I'm going to do everything I can so no man goes to this place called the Lake of Fire. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make it hard to go to hell from Livonia. I'm going to make it hard to go to hell from Ignited Church. I'm going to preach holiness and preach righteousness. And if I got to grab you by the nape of the neck and pull you over the victory line, we're going to do it. Come on, somebody. I don't know how far God will let me do that, but I'm going to pull you as far as I humanly possibly can. If you want to stay and burn, go ahead. I don't want nobody to burn. I don't even want my enemies. Anybody that's ever crossed me, hurt me, or stabbed me in the back, I don't want nobody to go to this place. Is anybody with me? I don't have any hard feelings towards anybody. Let everybody get born again. Let everybody stand before Christ. Let everybody know the saving grace of an amazing Savior. That ought to be the clarion call of the church today, is avoid hell. But see, we don't preach about hell enough in the house of God. No. See, we're more sophisticated today. We're past that, preacher. We don't have to talk about it because, by the way, everybody's saved. Are you kidding me? I said, are you kidding me? Jesus said there'll be those who have cast out devils and done mighty things in his name. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. What does he mean? The word means this, intimacy. I never knew you. As a husband and a wife know each other in intimacy. We were never intimate together. I never knew you. You said you knew me, but I didn't know you. You did all these things in my name, but you didn't even know me. That's a powerful truth, isn't it? Depart. And he says, you workers of iniquity. These were church folk. That means they did the hypocritical things in the house, but they lived like the devil. That's why these pastors are being exposed. We're rushing towards this day. He's exposing them for salvation. He's exposing them to be redeemed. He's exposing them so they'll come clean. You hear it all the time. God doesn't want any man to go to this place. And for you to ever wish somebody or tell somebody to go to hell, you ought to have your mouth washed out with soap. You don't want anybody to go there. Watch this as I'm closing. I know you're getting impatient. You have to go. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's bad to die once, it's bad to die twice. If you're a Christian, you die once and live forever. Somebody ought to shout for that. I said, you die once and you live forever. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And whosoever, don't matter who, it's whosoever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a promise as much as John 3:16. That is the opposite of John 3:16 right there. We ought to preach both scriptures when we're trying to get somebody to come to Christ. Here's the good news of John 3:16, but let me show you Revelation chapter 20. You make a decision. It's heaven or it's hell. But you're going to have to make a decision. I want to challenge everybody in this room right now. Everybody watching me in the global church. You need to talk to your family members. You need to ask them, is it heaven or hell? You need to make a decision. And if they don't like you about it, so what? What difference does it make? You're clean before God. The Bible declares if we don't warn man of his sin, then that sin is on our hands. And I refuse for that blood to be upon my hand and my heart. I challenge you, everybody listening to me, watching me right now, challenge your friends. Challenge people around you in your life. Do you know Christ? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Lead them on that Romans road. Show them how to get to the cross. If they're struggling in life, don't condemn them and cast them out. Help them. And tell them you can make it. You can get through your addictions. You can get to the victory side of this. We're the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. We're the only ones. We should leave no one behind. We should make every effort to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're watching me and listening to me right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is real here. He loves you with an amazing love, and you are not promised. You're not promised tomorrow. In fact, you're not even promised to finish this prayer. I would make the decision now to be born again. Call upon His name. Be saved. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because He loves you with an amazing love, more than I can ever, ever convey to you. If you're backslidden, you've been playing in the church, you're being hypocritical. Get it right with God. He sees it. We've all been subpoenaed. And one day we will stand before an almighty God. You're on probation. You need to live right and do right by the Holy Ghost. Father God, thank You for this message today. I pray that we would take it to heart. I pray that when we look at the world and we see what's happening, it's just part of the revelation of the coming day. Help us, Father God, to witness to our friends, to witness to our family, to witness to everyone we meet. It's either heaven or it's hell. There is no in between. I thank You for Your truth. In Jesus' name.